You know, there's a story of a woman who worshipped a century ago in a Puritan church. She had a critical spirit and complained, had something negative to say just about everybody that she came in contact with or met or didn't even meet. Even her pastor. One particular Sunday, after the service, she walked up to the pastor and he said, "Pastor, I'm kind of annoyed about something." And he said, "What is that?" He was used to that. She said, "Well, it's your clerical stole. It's something that a century ago, many pastors, many even today, will still wear a stole. You like that? Okay, maybe. I don't know if you're going to see it again. My wife's not here. She's away at the beach in New Jersey. She might have something to say about that." She said, "It's too long. It bothers me. It annoys me. And I'd like to shorten it." And he graciously said, "Whatever, sure, go ahead." And she actually had a scissors in her hand. And she went, "I'm not going to cut this. I've actually worn this numerous times at weddings, so I'm not going to cut it." But she went ahead and she cut it and she put the fragments in his hands. And he said, "Thank you." And he said, "Well, I need to share with you that there is something about you that I think is extra long, and one good turn deserves another. Would I be able to shorten it?" And she said, "Oh, please do so." And she handed him the scissors, and he said, "Ma'am, please put out your tongue." Well, have we not all met someone like that woman, whose tongue was you want me to take it off? Okay. Whose tongue was a little bit too long. Who, when they said something, you just kind of cringed. Or when they were in a circle, you were wishing to pull them out of the circle because you were concerned about what they would say. But I dare say, is there not anyone in this room whose tongue has not been too long? Maybe it's been at work. Or your former work. You're not there anymore because the tongue was too long. In your family. Maybe in school to a teacher. Or to a fellow student. Maybe even to someone in your church. A neighbor where the tongue was just too long. We said something and we had a regret. Wish we could take that back. Who hasn't spoken about someone in a conversation and just kind of, sorry, Beg, just kind of snipped and snipped and snipped. There's a pen in here, and snipped until there was nothing left. Our guests are saying, "Well, I'm not going to go grab one of those bags. There's nothing in it." There are in those. We've done that. I've done that. Is there anybody here in this room who hasn't done it? Please don't hold up your hands. We wouldn't want to call you out as a liar. But maybe this. If you have found yourself having a tongue too long, raise your hand. Yeah, there you go. Keep them raised. Come on up. Get the line. There you go. You know, I'm just as guilty. Can we do something about it? Can we do something about it? Absolutely we can. You see, the problem is we've got this little beast. It's about 2 inches long. We have it behind the cage of pearly whites. And when we let it out, usually it causes damage. But the scripture tells us there is something that can be done about it. James, the writer of the book of James, shares this in James 3. He says that this beast, this tongue, can be guided. He says, "If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. In other words, this one little piece of our body can so destroy our whole lives and cause pain to the rest of the body. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. And then he continues in his writing to talk about the fact that yes, this tongue can be guided just like a powerful horse with bit and bridle can be turned and guided by a little girl. So a huge ship and a small rudder can be guided against the raging seas by that captain. James feels strongly about it. Solomon, the writer of Proverbs, as we've been studying, you notice the title of the message this morning, Mastering My Mouth, right? Solomon feels strongly about it, and Jesus feels strongly about it. But you know what they all say? It's not really a tongue problem. It's a heart problem. Notice what Jesus says in Luke 6:45. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasures produces evil. Notice this. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. You see, there's something deep inside of us. That's the problem. You see, the tongue is merely a messenger that delivers the hidden things that are in our hearts. The heart is the real core of who we are. Our wills, what we really think, what we really believe about faith, about God, about life, about others. That hidden place. And Jesus says it shouldn't be hidden. It shouldn't be free. You shouldn't want to hide. Solomon tells us, you see it there at the top of your program, you turn around the back, notice that scripture. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Isn't that true? Yours and ours. You can build up others or you can tear them down. Others can build you up or tear you down. So this morning, let's put the scissors away, okay? Because we're all admitting we're in the same place. It's too long. But let us open up our heart to God's truth. And by His grace, resolve to grasp the meaning of what the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. And looking into our heart, say, God, help me. If you've walked with me long enough, you know we've come across this verse in some of our studies. And I've shared with you, it's a life verse. What does that mean? It means when I came across this verse many years ago, it stopped me in my tracks. And God said, son, you better get a hold of this. Because you've got a heart problem. And as a result of that, you've got a tongue problem. So let me deal with your heart. And as a result of that, you will stop cutting others down and start building them up. Notice what the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths. You know what that says? That means it's possible. It's possible for no corrupting talk, no unwholesome talk to come out of our mouths. God wouldn't tell us, let it not happen if it weren't possible to happen. Now, in your strength and my strength, no. But if we abide in Jesus, if we're walking closely with Him, He's massaging our heart. He's always there guiding our heart. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. In other words, there's a time where you have to share something difficult, something challenging, something of truth and substance to someone, but you can do it in such a way that they walk away feeling built up. They go, that was the best spanking I ever got. I mean, they just feel like, wow, I heard truth. It hurt, but I was edified. God says you and I can live that way. God says that's possible. So what do we need to do? Well, today, this morning, is part one of this two-part message, Mastering My Mouth. We're going to deal with three negatives today, the stop doing, the don't do. And next week, we're going to deal with the three positives. What do we do? How can we do it? Okay, so what are the first three? Number one, you see it there in your outline if you want to follow along. We must guide our tongue away from corrupting talk. Guide it away. It can be done. The scripture tells us that. Here you're going to see a number of proverbs that will speak to us how we ought to stop any foolish and perverse talk. That critical talk, that condemning talk, it's perverse. It's foolish. God says, stop it. You must stop it. You can stop it. And also, if you've got those in your life who speak that way, God says, make your distance. Notice what the scripture says. We see the first in Proverbs 18, 6 through 7. A fool's lips walk into a fight, and his mouth invites a beating. A fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are a snare to his soul. Our soul, our very core, the very thing we desire to be and grow in Christ, we can actually destroy and just find ourselves taking so many steps back because of the foolish talk, because of perverse talk. Proverbs 12:13. An evil man is ensnared by the transgression of his lips, but the righteous escapes from trouble. 14:7. Notice this. Leave the presence of a fool, for there you do not meet words of knowledge. Let me define fool. One who says there is no God. One who says, give me a break about what this book says. You've met a fool who disregards God, who disregards God's ways, who says, I am the master. What is in my heart, how I feel and where I want to go and what I want to say. I say what I think. You've met a fool. We all think all kinds of things. Thinking it isn't a sin. It's dwelling on it. It's ruminating on it. And then as we do that, it eventually settles in the heart. Then we say it. For the thought to come, that's not the sin. It's what you do with the thought. God, I'm not going to condemn. I'm not going to be critical. God, I'm not going to go there. Help me. Wash my mind. Oh, by the grace of God, Lord, maybe I could have said something so foolish or done something so wrong. And so instead of condemning, I'm going to build up as I bring truth to this friend, to this family member. 18:2. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. Listen to that. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. One of the scriptures, and we'll see next week, talks about where there is not a shortage of words, there also is not a shortage of sin. You let somebody just keep talking, who they really are, what's really in their heart, is eventually going to come out. And here there are those you can't reason with. But boy, they want to share their opinion, but will not allow truth to reason in their own heart. 26:18-21. Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, I'm only joking. Been there? Somebody said something? And with their words, like a spear, like a club, you're hurt. They trick you. There's deception. And then when they're found out, oh, I didn't mean it. Just joking. For lack of wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no whisper, quarreling ceases. As charcoal to hot embers and wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife. God says, if we keep it zipped, we're not giving any air to the fire, any wood to the fire. So number one, we need to stop foolish and perverse talk. And if there are those around you who engage in that, then don't be that garbage bin that receives it. Because there are some who know who to call, who to text, who to email when they have something that they just want to say that's perverse or foolish. Don't be a listener. A good practice is when someone wants to bring you a choice morsel about something else or someone else that's perverse or foolish, say, before you say another thing, I'm going to let you know that as soon as you share that with me, I'm going to give them a call and let them know what you said. Is that okay? You say that, a lot of people will not be calling you much. That's okay. But the integrity of your heart is protected. So so. Let's agree, okay? So the scissors don't have to come out. Let's stop the foolish and perverse talk. Number two, let's stop any false and exaggerating talk. Lying, exaggeration. Bell Data ran this marketing ad for a product in the Financial Times of Canada. Here's what it said. A limited time offer for a full-blown, state-of-the-art, fully integrated, user-friendly, multifunctional, multilingual, multitask word and data processing system with advanced graphic capabilities. No batteries, electricity needed. Were they describing the latest laptop or iPad? No. This is what they were marketing. A pencil! Okay? A little bit of exaggeration. And it was a spoof on words. We have a lot of words that can say a lot of things. Are we lying? Are we exaggerating? God says, and has some thoughts on the matter. He says, stop any false and exaggerating talk. Look at Proverbs 12:22. Lying lips, they're okay. When you got to get out of something, you know, when you got to protect your job, when, you know, you got stuck, they're okay with God. Is that what that word abomination means? No. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. But those who act faithfully are His delight. See, even when you get yourself in a pickle, when you're truthful, God says, I delight in you. I'll give you grace in the midst of that pickle. I'll get you out. Oh, there may be consequences, but with your reputation, you can be blameless. Because we all get ourselves. We all make mistakes. We all sin, the Scripture says, in many ways and in many times. But how do we respond? Lying? God said it ought not to be so. Notice this. Boy, this is for a young guy who in his 30s had just come to Christ and was in the marketing business of a financial software company who was involved in the tri-state area dealing with multi-billion dollar companies looking to sell our software and put our technicians together with senior level officers in banks and financial institutions. When I read this verse, God began to speak to me very personally. The getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor and a snare of death. There's always that fine line. The embellishment. The saying in the meeting of a deadline when you know that you know you're not going to meet it. The getting of treasure by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor and a snare of death. Don't do it. 30, verse 32. If you have been foolish, exalting yourself, or if you have been devising evil, keep your hand over your nose. Did you get that? Stop! Run! Flee! Even if you hear yourself saying it, and it's all about you building yourself up, something you've done, something you think you've accomplished, you just find yourself building yourself, stop! Even in mid-sentence, you're saying it. You know, I don't even want to. I'm sorry I even started that. Just stop. No explanation. Just stop. An evildoer, listen to this, listens to wicked lips. And a liar gives ear to a mischievous tongue. You know, if we harbor evil in our heart, if we ourselves are liars, we keep company with mischievous people, with liars, with evildoers. God says, don't do it. 25:18. A man who bears false witness against his neighbor. Notice this. We've all experienced this. Somebody who isn't telling the truth. It's like a war club or a sword or a sharp arrow. So there you have a relationship with someone. Then they say something. And it's just not right. Just not true. Oh, maybe there's a portion of it that's true. But they twist it. You know what that feels like? So, don't be that person in other people's lives. A man of a crooked heart does not discover good, and one with a dishonest tongue falls into calamity. And finally, whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a simple babbler. I got to tell you, some of you are saying, well then, John, we're not meeting. I'm not a simple babbler. I am a great, you know, high up there, babbler, okay? God says, be careful with the company you keep. Be careful of those words. So number one, what are we going to stop doing? How are we going to guide our tongue from not speaking corruptly? We're going to stop any foolish and perverse talk. Number two, we're going to stop false and exaggerating talk. Stop the lying. When I was growing up, there was such a thing as called a white lie. It wasn't a real lie, just a white lie. Wow, what? Oh, to protect myself, to get myself out of trouble. It wasn't really going to hurt anybody. God says, hurts me. I live in you. All your words, you're an ambassador of mine. You are a messenger of me. And how you speak and how you parse your words, God says, I'm there, I'm listening. And you are either pointing others towards who I really am, or you are a mockery and a hypocrite and pointing people away from the opportunity possibly to get to know who I am. And number three, stop any flattering and manipulating talk. A man who flatters his neighbor spreads a net for his feet, both the feet of his neighbor and for himself. You know, gossip is saying behind somebody's back what you would never say to their face. Gossip is saying behind somebody's back what you would never say to their face. You know what flattery is? Saying to somebody into somebody's face what you'd never say behind their back, because you really don't mean it. And you'll say something encouraging or how you're grateful for someone, yet behind their back, you're critical. You're condemning. That's flattery. You don't build them up. You don't tell others of the things that you said to their face. Scripture says, be careful. Whoever hates disguises himself with his lips and harbors deceit in his heart. When he speaks graciously, believe him not. For there are seven abominations in his heart. Though his hatred be covered with deception, his wickedness will be exposed in the assembly. Whoever digs a pit will fall into it, and a stone will come back on him who starts it rolling. A lying tongue hates his victims, and a flattering mouth works ruin. God says, when you flatter, when you speak deceitfully, when you're putting others down, it's going to come back at you. You are digging a pit that eventually you're going to fall in yourself and get covered up. You start that stone rolling towards someone to destroy them, to hurt them, or to achieve something for yourself. God says it's going to get up that hill and eventually it's going to roll back and crush you. So if the motivation is impurity in our heart, let it be selfishness to keep our mouths closed and not to be flatterers and manipulating talkers. Remember, it's not what's outside of us. It's not the stressful circumstances, though they're there. And isn't that the time where things happen and words come out of us? It's not the uncontrollable kids, but they're there. It's not the insults that come at you, but they're there. It's not the comments made or the comments not made when you think you deserve some recognition. It's not the rude behavior that leads us to speaking foolishly or perversely, that leads us to lie or to exaggerate, that leads us to flatter in order to manipulate. But it's due to a heart that has not been careful. A heart that has strayed away from depending on and leaning on Jesus Christ. You see, when we're wounded, our words often wound others. When we're hurting, our words will hurt others. But when you're wounded, when we're hurting, Jesus says, that's why you come to me. I'm the healer. I'm the restorer. I bind up those wounds. When you have been insulted, when you have been neglected, Jesus says, come to me with those wounds. Come to me with those hurts. Come to me in those stressful times. Are you weary? Are you burdened? I will give you rest for your soul. Healing, cleansing, strengthening for your heart. That core of who you are. That part of your personality that will live forever. But we've wandered in that walk, or it's just become rote and it's not alive and it's not engaging. So when we're feeling overburdened, stressed, insulted, and beyond the capacity to take it, Jesus says, that's my capacity. That's where I come. Notice what Solomon says in Proverbs 4, 23 through 24. He says, keep your heart with all vigilance. You see, if that's where the problem starts in our heart, the word keep means to guard and to protect. You know what it feels like. Something's happened. You can sense it. This isn't right. I'm getting tight. I'm getting hot. Not this kind of hot, but inside, you know, it's coming up. Keep guard, be on guard. For from it flow the springs of life. God is saying there's an opportunity now. So a spring is about to come out of your mouth. And it's going to make its way toward every crevice and towards many ears. Either life or death is going to come out of your mouth. The spring that's about to come out. Put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. And then notice Jesus. I read one verse earlier. Let me close with this. Jesus speaking says, how can you say to your brother, brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye. See, we're talking about speech here. We're talking about interaction. And who do we do that? If you talk to yourself, that's cool. I'm glad you're here. Open arms. Everyone's accepted. So you keep talking to yourself. But usually your words are directed towards somebody else, whether to their face or behind their back. And so Jesus speaks about that. You see, we see what's wrong in other people's life very clearly. And Jesus says, you got a problem there. You got a heart problem. Brother, let me... Jesus says, how can you say to your brother, brother, let me take the speck that is in your own eye when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye. Do you see something in your friend's life, in a family member's life, in a boss's life, in a co-worker's life, in somebody in your circles, in your growth group, in your church, in your pastor? Do you see something wrong? Do you see a speck? Good. God says, I want you to help them. But first, take the log out of your own eye. Check your own heart. There's some things in your own life, Jesus says, you need to deal with. Then you'll see clearly. Then your speech towards that one will be full of grace and truth. And they will feel built up as you share with them and you come to what help. Because let me tell you, if I got a speck in my eye, it hurts. It agitates. And sometimes I don't even know what causes it. I can't get it out. And so I just live with it. But if you could see it and you could help me, I want you to help me. I need you to come alongside and help me with that speck. But be careful. First, Jesus says, deal with the logs in your own eye. Some folks say, John, where do you get the great jokes and the wit that you have? I get it from Jesus. Well, no one's ever really said that to me, but Jesus, he here is just trying to, with an illustration, make a point. You get it? We're trying to help somebody else and we got a log in our eye. And notice this. For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person, out of the good treasure of his heart, produces good. And the evil person, out of his evil treasure, produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Let me ask you this morning, who is guiding your heart? Who is filling your heart? Christ says, that's where I reside. That's where I want to reside. Where? Which one of the veins have you quenched? And Christ is not able to pulsate through, to cleanse that plaque in your heart. He says, I can do it. I want to do it. Let me do it. And that's where you and I come to at this moment of our service. As I pray, you say, Lord, this is where I've struggled. Foolishness too often comes out of my mouth. Perverse things. I listen to perverse things. I listen to foolish talk. Lord, false things, lies. No matter what I call them, I lie, I exaggerate, God. Jesus, help me. Lord, why am I a flatterer? Why when I see someone, I always want to say something, you know, good. And that's, you know, it's not even real anymore. God, what is it? What do I manipulate to get something that I want? Lord, examine me, try me, test me. Jesus, peel open this heart and bring healing. Show me why I hurt so much. Show me where the wound started. And you get in there and you do surgery, good and great physician. And he will. And he will reside in that heart. And he will keep that heart pumping and clear and clean as we consistently come before him and say, you search, Lord, for those things hidden. And then you will, and I both will be so surprised when we have opportunity to be condemning, to be critical, to say something foolish, to exaggerate, to lie, even just a little bit. We won't. Either the mouth will be closed or we'll see something from a different perspective. We'll see clearly. We'll see like Jesus would see. Because the log is no longer there. We're going to see that person like Jesus sees that person. And all he wants to do is come alongside and offer hope and healing and restoration. No matter what they've done, no matter what they've said. And God says, and you're my ambassadors. And so that's why. It's not the words that are the major problem, though they are a major problem. It's the heart. Let's recommit our hearts to him this morning. Father, I thank you, God, for the fact that you are the ones who can master our mouth because you are the master of our hearts. Jesus, thank you for your long suffering. Thank you for your grace. Thank you, God, for your word that is a light and has shown us things this morning, Lord, and has gotten our eyes off of what others have done or said, and Lord's been able for us to see those things. I find ourselves getting into a trap. Because we can't control what's going to happen around us that brings stress. We can't control the hearts and the mouths of others, what they say and how they see us or how they see things in our lives. We can't stop all too often the spears and the clubs and the hammers of lying, exaggerating, hurting words spoken by others. But what we can control and what we can yield is our own hearts. I pray, God, for those here in this room who know that you are the commander of their hearts because you are Lord of their lives. You are Savior because they've acknowledged you as such and have turned from a heart bent on sin and have turned to this God of grace, to this Jesus of salvation who on that cross paid a price that we could not pay so we might be set free from harboring and living in that sin. And Lord, so restore us today. Hear the confession of our heart. We don't need to be forgiven all over again. You died once for sin. The just for the unjust. But if we would say we have no sin in our heart, we're liars. And the truth and the word has no place in our heart. We're not being guided by the word or by you, truth. But if we would confess our sin, agree with you, Lord, I'm the problem. How I react. The words that I say to those who come at me, to the stressful things. Lord, there's something in me. I confess to you, God. I have sinned in this way and in this way and in this way. Thank you for your promise. Thank you for your faithfulness that the word says you are faithful to cleanse us and to restore us, to make us right again. Thank you that you are our propitiation. You are the full satisfaction of all our sin before the Father. And Lord, there might be some who are in this room here today, God, and they find themselves here and they just see the heart and they go, Lord, I've always been this way. How can this change? Well, Jesus, that's where you specialize, isn't it? You give one who's willing a new heart. Not physical one, but a new course. A new way of thinking, a new way of, you give them your presence. That's what it means to be born anew. That's what it means to be a new creation in Christ. So maybe there's someone here today and they're on that journey. And today is a day that they say, Jesus, save me. I am a man, a woman, a boy or a girl. And what resides in me, a core, is sin. I miss God's mark all the time. I need you. I need your spirit. I need you to take me and to refresh me and to release me from this bondage that I'm in. Oh, set me free. And if the Son has made you free, you are free indeed. Oh, Lord, that might be the cry of a heart here today. And so we commit ourselves to you. May we listen to you and respond to you. And may the result be the words that come out of our mouths. God, impart grace according to the need of the hearer. Your favor to those around us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.